Welcome to the Life After 50 show. I'm glad you're back. Today we have a guest that's going to talk to us about something that affects just about everybody I know in one way or another. We're going to be talking about Medicare today. But before we do, I want to talk a little bit about the Senior Resource Conference because it's coming up next week. And if you haven't registered for it, you need to do so. Go to senior-conference.com and register. The May conference is all about how to pay for long-term care needs. And whether you need it for yourself, a spouse, or maybe a parent or a grandparent, you need to watch and hear what the experts have to say. So now that that is done, I'm going to move on to the meat of the show, which is talking about Medicare, what you need to know and what you don't know can hurt you. It can cost you a lot of money. And trust me, I know some people that personally that have been affected and they are paying for the rest of their lives from mistakes they made when signing up for Medicare. So we're going to bring Regina Wagner on and I'm going to let her tell you a little bit about herself and how she got into this. And then we're going to talk about a few questions you might have. If you have more questions, please put them in the comments down below. Just add your questions. We'll pop them up on the screen and ask Regina what to do. All right. So here comes Regina. Hi, Regina. How are you?
Hi. Good morning, Catherine. Oh, my dear friend, thank you for having me here today. It is always a pleasure to help people.
Well, it's my pleasure, Regina. My pleasure. So tell me a little bit about yourself and why you got into Medicare.
Absolutely. Thank you for asking. Before I get started, I do want to send a thank you out to our first responders and our healthcare workers for all they do during this time. I'm Regina Wagner. I'm the owner and principal of All Things Senior Consulting. We specialize in Medicare planning, funeral planning, and long-term care planning. Now, you asked me the question, why do I do what I do, or why did I get into Medicare planning? I started out helping my parents, like a lot of us, right? It was so overwhelming. There were so many moving parts to trying to feel confident in making the right decision for them, but I eventually did. And my mother told her friends and other people, and then people were coming to me asking me questions about their Medicare. What should they do? Well, you know, helping our parents is so different than helping other people.
It is.
So, oh gosh. So I had to seek out advanced learning, advanced training on Medicare. And as a result, that led me to getting my certifications. So a lot of people don't know this, but you not only have to get your certification to give advice on Medicare, but you also have to get certification for each and every insurance carrier you represent.
Wow.
Pretty intense commitment, but well worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of one question I know I hear a lot of my friends asking because it's kind of confusing. The whole Medicare thing is quite confusing. And we get bombarded with calls. I'm not quite there yet, but I'm right behind a lot of my friends. And they're telling me that they're just bombarded every day with phone calls and phone calls. And this person says this and this person says that. And you don't know who to believe half the time. And one of the questions that they're asking a lot is, you know, I'm still working. Can I delay signing up for Medicare if I'm still working? So, Regina, can you answer that?
Absolutely. I get that question pretty regularly as well. The answer to whether or not you can delay signing up for Medicare, it's twofold. The answer is yes, and the answer is no. So you can see why it's complicated. Let me explain.
Exactly.
You can delay signing up for Medicare if you are working and your employer offers a credible plan, health plan. Now, what does credible mean? It basically means that they offer a plan that's equal to are greater than the Medicare requirements. Okay, so if that, if all of that is in line, you can delay.
Now, Regina, how do you know if it's if it meets those criteria? How would you know that?
You must go to your employer and ask. Okay. In fact, it's one of their responsibilities is to keep their employees informed in the event their plans change. They can go from credible to not being credible at any point, and they send out a notice to their employees. So first, the employee needs to go to their employer, HR, and find out. But here's the other part to that question. Let's say they're still working, but their employer does not have a credible plan. They absolutely must sign up or they will be penalized.
Or if they're self-employed like me.
That is correct.
Yeah, I have a plan, but it's not. It's probably not a credible plan.
It would be worth it for you to check into it. And yeah, most cases when you're self-employed, it is not, but you always want to check. Mm-hmm. And so think about it. There are employers with 20 or less employees. They're not required to have a plan. So you can still be working. Have no coverage, like you mentioned. It's not just the self-employed, but it's employees of companies without a plan. They absolutely must sign up.
Okay, so what happens if you don't sign up?
Then you're going to be looking at penalties. Great question. Remember the beginning of your show, you talked about what you don't know can cost you.
Right.
Everything, when a person makes poor choices or uninformed choices, it ultimately has a price tag at the end. So for a person who delays enrollment for lack of joining without having a credible plan, the penalty is 10%. And that 10% is going to be assessed as a higher premium payment every single year going forward. That can really add up over the
years. That can add up a lot. Oh my gosh. That's
now there are exemptions. So again, if a person is working, they have a credible plan, all of a sudden that credible plan is either goes away or it's not credible anymore, then that's what's called a special election or special enrollment period. And they will not likely be assessed that late penalty.
Wow. That's something to really be aware of, because that can just follow you for the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, and you know, the next question kind of falls into some of that too. And it's talking about prescription drug plans. But before I get into the question I have up on the screen, what if you're not taking any well, actually, I have that question too. I'm going to go there first. What if you're not taking any medications? Do you have to sign up for Medicare Part D, which is the prescription drugs, right?
Yes. Great question. And a lot of people, unfortunately, when I'm doing reviews, I run into a lot of people say, I don't take medicine, so I didn't sign up. The question is, if you're not taking medicines, do you need to sign up? And the answer is yes, you do. I want you to think about it for a moment. We can go from taking no medications today, and next week, next month, we could be taking multiple medications due to an injury, a sickness, a fall, an allergic reaction, the list could go on. So regardless of whether you're taking medications now, you still need to sign up. And guess what? If you delay signing up, when you decide to join at a later date, you're also assessed a late penalty.
Yeah. And that follows you for the rest of your life. Because it happened to my sister, Regina. She was healthy at 65. She didn't need any medication. She tended more towards alternative medications. And then when she was, I guess, about 70 or seven, a little bit older, she had major heart problems, heart valve replacement, heart, bypasses, all kinds of stuff. And obviously she had to be on medications after that.
She is
now penalized for the rest of her life. And it's a pretty hefty little penalty too.
It's a hefty penalty. Yeah. The penalties.
That stinks.
Yeah, it stinks.
And I'm just going to say it. I think it stinks.
I agree with you. And the thing is, people don't know. They find out when it's too late. So again, I appreciate having an opportunity to inform people. I get questions about when should I start learning as early, you know, even starting at 50, you know, your show, Life After 50, at least learn about it. Now, highly likely that things will be different and they will change, but it's great to start just checking into terminology and what your options are down the road so you can plan. You know, my motto is always hope for the best, but plan for the worst.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, good. So now let's go to the other prescription drug plan. That's a very confusing thing to me. Should I go with the lowest premium?
Most people look at the lowest cost. Because of regulations, I can't talk about plans, but what I can share with your audience is that because different plans have different deductibles, a deductible is what you have to pay out of pocket before the plan covers any cost. So because there are different deductibles, there are different co-pays and different co-insurances, and co-pays and co-insurances is the part that you share in the cost of your drug. So because plans have different amounts attached to them, it would be very beneficial to know what those are. And you can compare them. You can go to Medicare.gov and compare the different plans, the overall cost, as well as the coverage. Tiers, there's different tiers associated with drug formularies. And so again, these are items that it would be very important for people to learn about ahead of time.
So let me ask you something. If you have, say I don't have anything wrong with me. I sign up for Medicare today. I get just a very low end drug plan, but 3 months from now, I get sick and I need some major heart medication, say, and it's not on that plan that I chose. Can I change it at that time? How does that work, Regina?
That's a great question, Catherine. There's a multitude of answers. It really depends on the person's circumstances. That person may be eligible for a special enrollment period because their health changed and they are now eligible for a plan that deals with chronic health issues. They could be eligible for a special election period due to the plan changing. It's a long list of what would allow them. But to give you a general answer, okay, a general answer would be most of the time you have the ability to change that plan to an annual election. And every year it's approximately October 15th through December 7th. And again, you want to talk with, you can call Social Security, you can call Medicare and get the specifics around your scenario. And they'll be able to let you know if you're eligible for a special election, meaning you can change that plan without a penalty.
Okay. All right. So another question, Regina, that you and I both have heard a lot. Will Medicare pay for assisted living for mom, or and will they pay for, second question, home care in the home for mom?
Great. Two separate questions, definitely. What I want to say, the short answer is no. Medicare was never created to cover long-term care services that you would get from an assisted living. And so, but believe it or not, this question, I'm so glad you asked or someone in your audience brought it up, because it is a significant number of people that are completely caught off guard and surprised by that answer.
They are.
And the reason there's so much misunderstanding around it is because think about it. You probably had a parent or an aunt or an uncle that went into the hospital. They were there maybe 3, 4, 5 days. And because they were there for so long, they needed some rehabilitation. So upon discharge, charging from the hospital, they were assigned to a skilled nursing facility or rehab facility. Because they had stayed in the hospital, Medicare Part A will cover rehabilitation. So as long as the person is getting better, and for a short period of time, your Medicare will cover it. But it's only limited. There are certain requirements that must be met. And so again, when we start talking about long-term care services, like your activities of daily living, you know, when we get to the point where we can't get up and out of bed, if we can't bathe ourselves, feed ourselves, if we can't walk or, you know, toilet ourselves, these are what we call custodial services and activities of daily living. Medicare absolutely will not cover it. Yeah. One other reason there's a confusion: for individuals with low income that qualify for assistance from their state, they do receive long-term care services. So that's why there's so much confusion out there as to will Medicare cover it?
The but that's through Medicaid, correct?
That is correct.
And that's a very big confusion for a lot of people. Medicare and Medicaid are two different things.
Yes, but they sound alike. And when we start losing our hearing, they sound, you know.
And when you're just not in this industry, they're new words. They're just new words. And, you know, you tend to blend them together because they sound similar. So you assume that they're going to pay for that.
Yes.
Wow.
And think about it. Your conference that you are having, the senior conference coming up, addressing the cost. If people don't know, if they're not planning, knowing that Medicare doesn't cover the cost, it's financially devastating to families.
Absolutely it is. Absolutely it is. In fact, I'm going to be doing a talk at that conference on the cost of senior care and senior living. Yes. And, you know, it's astronomical and people have no idea. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you how many families I have talked to over the years that they thought Medicare was going to pay for this. Right. And they were so disheartened when they realized that it didn't. And exactly. They were on their own and they had to figure out a solution. So it's important. And you do also sell long-term care insurance too, don't you? And that's another option.
Yes.
So, you know, if you're wanting to look at options, you want to talk about Medicare and other options for your future. Regina's a good resource for that. I'm going to put your website up here now, Regina, so that people can go there and get more information about your services. So the website is allthingsseniorconsulting.com. Okay, that's allthingsseniorconsulting.com. And you can find out all about Regina, her business, what she does. She's just a wealth of knowledge. I know I'm going to be reaching out to you more as I get a little bit closer to that golden date. And, you know, I know that there's a lot of people out there that I know that could benefit from your information and your resources. So I thank you for coming on the program and doing that. If anybody has a question, drop it in the comments below right now and we'll answer it. If you don't, or if you drop it in after the show, it's okay. I'll make sure that Regina comes in and gets your answers answered to that question. So you can still put your comments below, your questions below, or you can reach out to Regina directly on Facebook. Her Facebook page is All Things Senior Consulting on Facebook. Mm-hmm. So if you want to go to her Facebook page, you can do that as well. And Regina, this has been great. This has answered some really core questions that I think a lot of people have. And I thank you for being on the show.
Thank you. And I really thank you for helping so many people by getting the word out, by informing and educating. You're doing a great job. I love your show, Catherine. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Regina. And again, this was the Life After 50 show. I welcome you to come in every Wednesday at 10 a.m. We'll be talking to different experts about all kinds of subjects. You can also go to findhoustonseniorcare.com and find the replays of all of the Life After 50 shows. So have a great day. We'll see you next Wednesday. And you'll have to wait to find out who my expert will be. Thanks, Regina.
Bye.
Bye-bye.